Shout out with Sage.
Shout me out.
And that's all I gotta say.
So shout out and let's go.
Hi, everyone. How are you? Woo, that's really close today. Usually the screens are a little farther away. Okay, there we go. That was a little bit too much information. Okay. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Stream and Hub Radio. I'm Sage Stevens, the host of Shout Out with Sage. My guest today has produced the dark comedy hit Horrible Bosses 1 and 2 and the comical buddy film franchise Rush Hour 1, 2, and 3. He has recently ventured into the animated feature film space with the release of Extinct, which looks really, really adorable, and I have to go watch that. And not to forget any of the other films he has been responsible for, Money Talks, Love and Basketball, Equals, and he has also done some short films and some documentaries. So today, I'm super excited to have the chillest man in LA on the show, Jay Stern. Hey, Jay, how are you? Oh, we can't hear you. Your mic is muted. Okay, this isn't... Can you go in and your mic? You might have to log off and go back to that first step where it has the mic check. Can you hear me? I might need to call you.
Welcome to Shout Out with Sage Show. Shout Out with Sage.
Shout me out.
And that's all I gotta say.
So shout out and let's go.
Everybody can see me again?
Hello? Yes, and I can hear you this time. Awesome. Yay. Hey, Jay, how are you? Thanks for being here.
I'm good. Well, you're very welcome. I'm sitting in Venice, California at a restaurant. It's a little hot because the sun's in my face, but it's very nice.
Okay. Well, I'm glad that we sorted out all those tech issues that we had earlier. And why don't you tell me, how did you end up in the film industry to begin with?
I kind of really didn't know what else to do. I have an identical twin brother, and he was going to medical school. My mother seemed very keen on the idea that I could be an attorney.
Okay, yes.
But, that's a Jewish mom for you. So I was like, Mom, I don't want to encourage my verbal sadism. So I know that's what I'd be trained to do as an attorney. So I didn't know what to do. I love movies, and I knew a few people in New York that were, you know, in the production space, and I decided, okay, I'm gonna try to do movies, not really knowing what I was doing, but they're stories, and whether we like novels or short stories or whatever you like as far as story is, with any, you know, can be a lot of different forms. Movies are stories, and I certainly was very entertained by them over the years. And then I said, okay, maybe I can do something here. And I sort of became, after working production in New York, I was doing PA work and also location scouting and managing.
So how did you get your first job? Like, you were in New York. Did you know someone? Did someone, someone, or how did that work?
My first real job, I drove a cab in New York. You don't really have to have any qualifications except a driver's license. You don't really even have to speak English. You can just start driving.
Right.
And I did that for 9 months, and I worked in an ad agency, which is where I started doing production on TV commercials. So I knew people who were doing just, you know, days of production in commercials, and I started doing them. You know, I'd get paid $50 a day. If it was a really good day, $75 a day. And I'd move traffic cones around or, you know, guard a door or get somebody coffee, you know.
So that
it
was
wasn't very... really difficult work. Let me just say, I was up to the missions. You know, I could actually pour a cup of coffee.
You could handle that. And back then, you couldn't Google anything if you didn't know it. So you would have to learn as you go, right? So
you know, we didn't Google back then. I don't really take Google's word for it all the time anyway. So I think it's dangerous if you're getting all your instructions from Google.
Exactly. So you started in production. How did you get into like producing? Like, what was your first real producer job?
Really, it was because my first real producer job would, I don't know, I'm embarrassed to say, so I don't remember, honestly. Nothing is that embarrassing, but I was associate producer of Squeeze Play, the first R-rated sports comedy, and even though I didn't get paid anything to do it, I was an associate producer, and it was a very successful movie, and I'm in front of the camera a couple times, as well as being the associate producer.
With that, so did you get paid for all your jobs or some of your jobs?
I wasn't an associate. I just lied. See, that I exaggerated my title. I was actually assistant to the producer, so I didn't really. You can't count that as a producing job.
Okay, so back to your voyage or your experience in film, and then we'll talk about the ocean again later.
I'm not sure what your audience is, but I do occasionally go to colleges, and people ask me
what would your biggest advice be?
In the entertainment business. The entry in is quite difficult because you have to find somebody credible that can speak to somebody credible that you are worth spending 10 minutes with, you know? Because everybody out here is like incredibly greedy and selfish, and they measure their lives out in teaspoons and 10 minutes. And do I have a half an hour for this schmuck? You know, it's like that's
question. Exactly, which I really appreciate because you're giving me half an hour of your time for the show, so.
Yeah, but I'm just somebody that realizes my time is worthless. So, you know, and worth everything. So that's where we all are right there. We make ourselves way too self-important on the one hand. On the other hand, we probably don't stand up for ourselves well enough. So that's the to me, the dilemma of life, how to deal with your own ego and other people.
Exactly, especially here, in entertainment.
In L.A., because, you know, everybody is one step away from being the next, you know, mega star, mega writer, mega director, and you're right around the corner, it's going to happen, you know, and you got thousands of people thinking that way.
Right.
Think of that.
So what is your biggest advice for someone, or a tip?
It's really behavior. It's behavioral kind of ethical tips. I say, listen, do your very best to keep your own word, because I'm going to tell you something. If you keep your word 95% of the time, you will actually be noticed, because most people in Hollywood and on Earth don't. Keep your word.
It's one thing I really try and do, yes.
But listen to me. It's not only because so other people can trust you. It's also so you can trust yourself. You know, I know a lot of people who say a lot of shit that, you know, they get about maybe half of it done at best. A lot of time, like only 10%. It's like, you know what? You have to actually have respect for yourself too.
Right.
First, by the way, if you don't actually trust yourself, why are you even bothering running around out here? I have I have two Buddhist teachers. I have one very wise guy. In every sense of the phrase, he did say to me this, which I think applies to everybody that's listening. This is all an inside job. Don't ever blame anybody else for the fact that you're not successful. If you catch yourself doing that, you better stare yourself in the mirror and adjust it. You are responsible for your life, period, end of story. And if you don't feel that way, you shouldn't be in the entertainment business. You'll get crushed.
I would agree.
There are a lot of smart people. As much as they may act dumb or whatever in L.A. or whatever, there are a lot of smart people in the entertainment business. There's a lot of money to be made. It has attracted quite a few intelligent people, very creative people, and don't think you're smarter than they are. If you think you're going to outsmart them, you should probably go back home. I know a lot of smart old Jews that have traditionally run the entertainment business largely. Now it's them and another 50% the homosexual and the HB whatever, the, all the black lesbians, all the transsexuals now run things in my mind. If you're a black transsexual, you could be a studio head with zero qualifications. Just saying. I see that. I really shouldn't get on shows like this where I just improvise. I'm going to get Me Too right here. If I get Me Too, what happens here?
You're fine. You're fine. I mean, I've had another person on the show a couple shows ago, and they were in the reality world, and they were basically saying, yeah, they just want to stay relevant. They're a white guy. I mean, like, you know, he has a very track record. He's done a lot of stuff.
I've done his truth as a human being and as a man with some smidgen of pride still left. I would like to be relevant, too. I just know it's probably a kind of unrealistic goal in a certain way. I'm relevant for myself and my family and my friends in life every day. That's all I need, period.
Well, you're right. Well,
for people on the way up, they got to be, you know, there's that great thing, entertainment business. At about the age of 50, maybe 55, they tap you on your shoulder and say, you had your run. See that? You had your run, and I hope you enjoyed it.
Oh, it was nice seeing you.
See that meadow out there? Go out there and start munching, dude. Period. That's the ageism is disgusting, and I'll get on a bandwagon.
Oh, I'm a woman in LA.
What's that?
I'm a woman in LA. Ageism is like horrific. Yeah,
but you're young and adorable, so you don't have to worry about anything. You know?
Oh, thank you. Oh.
So, this.
I do want to ask you a question. So you did do that animated feature, correct? How was...
By the way, it's so funny you brought that up. I have an executive producer credit. I helped find the financing.
Okay, that's it.
Listen, I read the script and gave a few notes and thought the script was great. I love the idea of the script.
Okay.
And got on it. And you know what? I got a couple of bucks on it. So you know what? I like the Chinese. I do a lot of business with the Chinese. I can have a... So let me finish, by the way. Let me go back.
Okay,
keep your word. Keep your word.
We segued there. We'll go back. Right.
I'm going to go back to the original question.
Okay.
you want to stand out in Hollywood? You want to do well there? Keep your word as well as you possibly can. I'll tell you, I've had bosses that actually undermine my word. And the first thing I do is you also had to have some guts. I got on the phone. I said, my boss just undermined me. I'm so sorry. I'm going to try to make it up to you. I made you a promise I can't keep right now. You got to get on the phone right the fucking way.
Okay.
You don't hide from that and wonder, is he mad at me? No. You get on the phone and say, listen, I made a promise I can't keep now because my boss just sandbagged me.
Right.
You got to, listen, in life, you got to have guts. You want to be in the entertainment business, you better have some guts.
Yes, you definitely need to stand your ground at certain instances. And
you are going to get run over, like literally just put into mass and all that stuff, you know?
Right.
You'll be roadkill within 6 months. That's my little soundbite. But a Ferrari or a Lamborghini will fucking you fuck over.
Okay. Oh, wait. You can't.
I didn't even know what that word means.
The frig. Yeah, the frig over.
So the second thing is this. Mm. Here's, if you add on this, if you actually obey the golden rule as well as possible, if you treat others as you would like to be treated, if you do those two things, keep your word and treat others as you would like to be treated, I guarantee you people will take notice of you.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes. Yes, just to be respectful and civil.
Try to be respectful and treat people properly. And you may not have learned whatever your background is. You may be from rural Russia, and you may not know that you say please and thank you.
Right.
We got to try to get over petty bullshit, petty disputes. How about you try to like the person next to you? How about that?
Right. And is that basically then building relationships, which will also help you, correct?
In business, I had very good advice from one person. You said you're moving to LA. Try to get to know everybody in your peer group. Go to every party you're invited to.
Okay.
You know, and I did, by the way. Hardly to my detriment, but I did go to every party I was invited to. There'd be the opening of the phone booth. I'd be there. Yeah.
I see. You were the networking king, were you?
Well, I was just a social guy. I'm an identical twin brother. I literally have somebody that I look in the mirror, there's another mirror. That's my twin.
Right.
So I grew up very social, thinking other people were okay. I ran on the borderline now. I'm not sure if other people are okay. By the way, Jean-Paul Sartre has a very concise
no exit play?
No, he says this. Hell is other people.
Right.
I don't disagree, by the way. There are certainly other people that are hell on earth, like that. And then there are some that are heaven on earth. They tend to be beautiful women who are also intelligent. For me.
For you. Exactly. Was there someone when you were first starting out that was really instrumental that helped you quite a bit to reach your success?
You know, I will tell you, there are some people. I mean, I don't think there are a lot of examples that I've seen where somebody is a true mentor and take a, but
a true mentor. You didn't have a mensch?
A true mentor. I did. First guy I went to work for in Los Angeles in a real way in the mainstream business was Michael Pizer.
Okay.
Who was a New York. He was a New Yorker and is a New Yorker and he had a deal at Disney because he was maybe the best line producer, a very excellent producer. And Jeffrey Katzenberg made a deal with them because Jeffrey's very smart, obviously.
Yes.
And Michael Pizer was somebody that was actually, I think, went to his high school. They knew each other in some way. And Michael was a very successful guy who gained his success completely legitimately. And there are many that don't.
Okay. Can you sort of explain legitimate versus non-legitimate?
Like non-legitimate, I tried to distribute sexual favors for 6 months, 9 months. It didn't work. Didn't help me, but that would have been illegitimate if I just spent sexual favors and got, you know, benefits from it, you know, from the studio.
Right. Or like, I understand.
You understand? I don't do that anymore, just so you understand. I don't even know the word sex, by the way. What is sex? What is it? So I lost the question. I'm here just rambling in Venice.
That's okay. You're a good rambler. You're very entertaining. So let's sort of jump to screenplays then.
No, Michael Pizer. I was on Michael Pizer.
You got it back.
He was a superb producer, and he is a superb human being. Mm-hmm. And he was as much of a mentor as I ever had, honestly. That's
okay.
It. That's all.
That's good. You said that you read.
I'm going to back up one more. I'm going to say, the guy you were talking to before me, that I don't know who he is, but everybody said, be around people that celebrate you. Don't forget about tolerance. Celebrate you. By the way, that's as good wisdom as I've heard maybe ever, right? I mean, I can't say anything better than that. I'm just saying.
Well, that was Patrick Neal. He's a comedian, so yes.
By the way, I love that so much. And by the way, how about this too? You celebrate yourself. And I go through my day, so I give myself pep talks all day long.
Right.
Celebrate yourself. It's okay. You are good. You do have a good heart. You have a good soul.
You're worth it.
Yourself.
Yeah,
God,
exactly.
Thanks. And 100. Don't let the haters fucking get to you. Period.
Gotcha.
End of story. I don't know what else to say. That's it. Okay, rush hour 4. We'll try to do
Yes, what are your new projects? What are your new projects? Can you talk about those?
I'm doing a documentary. It may be a documentary, it may be slightly fictionalized, about a guy named Lakey the Kid. I call him the once and future king of Queensbridge, the biggest projects in the world. And he was the once and future. He's the godfather of Queensbridge. Okay. A lot of people that respect him greatly. I'm out here now. I'm looking at him right now. I'm out here right now in Venice, California with Lakey the Kid, touching base with his buddies, Meta World Peace.
Oh, okay.
Ice-T is in, you know, is going to exec produce his movie. I'm telling you, these are extremely excellent people, every one of them, okay? That's what I'm saying. And I'm around excellent people. And I'm grateful for it. I don't even know how it got here.
It just happened.
Well, I think the angels have been guiding me. I mean, there's been some angel coordination, and this does happen. You live your life straight and right, and you actually try to do by other people how you do by you, and you do invite the angels then. What you do, you're inviting the angels in. And by the way, they'll just take care of all of it at a certain point. You don't have to worry.
Okay. So because you're doing the right thing and...
Well, I'm not saying I do the right thing all the time. I'm not perfect. Right. I have dirty thoughts, you know. I'm going right towards comedy now. You understand this.
Yes. You're a comedian. Let me know when you're performing at the comedy club or wherever.
You don't know comedy in L.A.
The comedy store, the improv. Actually, I've been going to lots of comedy because I've been having comedians come on the show. So I've actually...
I met my main Buddhist teacher 4 or 5 years ago, and he said to a friend of mine, Jay is a comedian. I said, I'm not a comedian. If anything, I help produce some movies that I think are funny, but I'm not a comedian. I got a couple of lines in there. And now I'm actually doing stand-up comedy, so I don't know if he actually...
Seriously?
Yeah, no, I'm doing... No, 4 or 5 months ago, I started doing stand-up comedy.
Oh, wow, amazing. That's great.
So that's a new career. Movie producer over the fucking hill. They're trying to get rid of me. And now I just started standing... do stand-up comedy in New York at my age.
So where have you been performing? I haven't seen you. I've been going to lots of places.
First time I went out, I met a guy in Midtown, my buddy Rob Jones. And I told him 5 jokes. I did meet him through a friend. I said, told him 4 or 5 jokes. He goes, you're funny. You should stand up. I said, that might be fun. It was great. I have a comedy club in Brooklyn. Come out this Friday. That was a Wednesday. And I went out. I did 5 minutes.
Oh, wow.
They laughed.
That's the main point of it.
The promoter actually thought I was good and sent me to Harlem the next week.
Oh, wow.
Okay, in Harlem.
Congratulations. So what's your comedy about? I think I had some of it today.
My comedy is about how ridiculous my life is. I feel a little sad to say that, but my life is a comedy, pretty much. Mm.
And how so? You want to elaborate on that?
Well, that would be like a 4-hour show, baby. Okay. I can tell you a couple of things. How about this? My wonderful soon-to-be ex-wife, at the age of 28, ran Current Comedy at NBC, okay? Mm-hmm. That was like, what, 5, 6 years before I married her. Then she's very funny. She was in rooms with, it was her and 14 guys, all, you know, she was a TV comedy writer.
Okay.
I'm gonna tell you something, you know, a woman that, like, everybody she worked with in those rooms, they could come up with 5 jokes, any scenario you give them. And that's, they're TV professional TV comedy writers. They're awesome, right? They're just, like, incredible. Mm-hmm. For me to get my wife to actually laugh out loud was a Herculean task. This is what I'm trying to tell you. I mean... I should have quit before I fucking started. I mean, come on. You understand? And by the way.
Oh, I can't see you anymore. You went away. So maybe he'll be back. Maybe not. Oh, Jay, are you back? There we go. Yeah, there we are. Hey, disappeared on me again.
I'm just trying to protect myself.
No worries.
So, anyway, my very soon-to-be ex-wife is a wonderful person, and to get her to laugh out loud, I honestly should probably earn me a genuine award, like a gold bar or some shit.
I see. So, are you going to be performing anywhere in L.A.?
Listen, I said I was supposed to leave, I think, today. I'm leaving on Sunday. I'm on Monday now. If there's Sunday night with an open mic, I'll probably try something out.
Okay. Well, please
let me know. It may literally be like my friend of mine saying, oh, the open mic over here, and me going over it 20 minutes later, you know.
Okay.
Or I could put you on some guest list, try to set something up ahead of time, have a massive audience. And all of a sudden,
well, let me know. I know.
All of
I
a sudden,
know.
I'm a fucking star. You know what I'm saying? It could go either way.
Either way, exactly.
You know, if 300 friends come into where I'm doing my open mic night, I think there's a buzz that happens.
Exactly. I think you could probably, you know, with the people you know, I'm sure you could fill it up. I'm sure you could find 300 people.
And you know what? I'm going to say goodnight. You're wonderful hostess, but this is exactly why I thought it probably would be a mistake for me to come on here, because I just say shit that I'm going to look like a fool forever.
No. You're good. Okay, so we'll wrap it up. So let me know when you're performing comedy. Thank you for being today. And thanks for all your advice and your tips. They were very, very good. And I'm sure.
Listen, it's not brain science. It's like, try to be good. Try to be as good as possible. Try to be your best self. I mean, do your best. And by the way, don't kill yourself if you fuck up. You know.
Okay. Thank you, Jay. Have a good time at the beach.
Oh, I'm going to. Trust me. Fish like me, I think. That's my pep talk before I go in the ocean. I think
fish. Okay. Fish. Thanks like for the pep talk.
Okay, bye.
Okay, bye.